Isn't music such a wonderful gift? We are one another. Romans 12, reading beginning there with verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself or of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We are one another. Why have we plunked down here in this passage? Why Romans 12? After all, Pastor, we've been in Proverbs. What happened to Proverbs? Why are we in Romans 12 all of a sudden? And even then, even if we were to leave Proverbs, we have the whole Bible before us. Why right here, right now, in this particular passage? Maybe you would allow me a little space, a little time to explain. Maybe you'd have enough patience for that. The reason we are here in Romans 12 is because of a particular human capacity, which is linked, integral, together with a particular human burden, and that burden leads to a particular human problem. So we're here in Romans 12 because of a particular human capacity which leads to a particular burden or necessity, we could say, or a particular human problem. You say, Pastor, that's too much for me. Why are you speaking in such abstract riddles? Well, let me try to explain. So we start here first with this idea of capacity. And the capacity that I have in mind is the ability to think. How many people here have the ability to think? I hope you all raise your hand. We've been given this capacity to think. Now, that capacity includes a variety of things. It includes the ability to plan. If you can't think, you cannot plan. I don't know if you've ever reflected on that, but it's the case. No thinking, no planning. So along with thinking comes this ability to plan, and then along with planning, or right alongside of it, we have the ability to choose. We can choose between one thing and another. We can steer our own course. I'm saying this in a slightly different way. It's the same thing as choosing, but a little broader, because steering your own course involves a lot of different choices that all together make up your course. So this ability to think involves all of these things. And then, of course, we can not just steer our own course, but this all adds up to an ability, after a fashion, a human fashion, not after God's fashion, But after a human fashion, we can actually create. Taking things that already exist, we can shape them and mold them and do things with them. Now, it's easiest to see what I'm talking about if I give you some examples. And I thought the easiest examples would be examples that come from what we do with material things, because it's a little more concrete, not quite so abstract as what we do with our minds and our thinking. So we could take, for example, as an example of this ability to create new things in new ways and new patterns and even new cultures, we could look at the subject of fashion, for example. Fashion. There's quite a lot of variety in fashion across the ages and even right now around the world. So I don't know when the last time was that one of you wore one of these. That's a fustanella. I have worn one in public, if you'd believe that, because this is the traditional dress from southern Albania, where we lived for 10 years. So you see here illustrated this human capacity to imagine and think and create, and it comes out in different styles. And so the Turks and the Greeks and the Albanians all wear these silly little skirts. One example. A much different example, and again, illustrating all the variety that comes out of the human mind, we have these men, the Yali tribe from Irian Jaya. Now, I don't think any of us would want to be caught dead and dressed like that, but here we have illustrated this human capacity to think and create and bring about or bring into being different patterns. Another example, we go to northern parts of Asia. Here is the typical dress for a Korean male in the 18th century, I guess. So you see what we have here is we have this variety, and it's all come out of the human capacity to think and create and to plan and execute and all of these things we've talked about. But then another whole area of human endeavor that we can look at is the development of transportation. And I've asked the gentleman there in the AV booth to play for us a short clip now of the history of transportation and the development of means of transportation. So here it is. Well, pretty amazing, isn't it? All of that came out of thinking, planning, choosing, creating. I was amazed. I didn't notice when I looked at that this morning that skis were actually invented, what did it say, 6,000 BC? That's pretty amazing. For those who like to ski, it's been around a long time. So we see this illustration, and everything you saw there, both in fashion and transportation, and we could go on and on and on in every area of human endeavor, everything you saw was part of a process of thinking and imagining and experimenting and trying things out and finding out what worked and what didn't, all the while aiming at some particular goal. Aiming at some particular goal. So this is the capacity that we have, this capacity to think. But then we also spoke of a burden that comes along with this capacity. And that is, we don't think in some kind of free and open space where there's no consequences. And so we have this pair, these two things together, responsibility for what we think and imagine and create and do, and consequences of the things that we create and do. It's really an amazing thing, all of this. Is it the way it is part of human life and human experience? By necessity, we must think and plan and choose, but then we also cannot escape the consequences of our thinking and planning and choosing. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. A lot of times we act without any ability whatsoever to see what the consequences will be down the road. This too is part of the human condition. But that's not all. I spoke also of a problem that comes along with this whole package. A human problem that is associated with our ability to think, and that is we easily lose sight of our goals. If you look at human history, we go through periods of innovation and creation and change, and then we slide into longer periods where we get stuck in ruts and where we begin to forget why we're even doing the things that we're doing. We just do them because this is the way it's always been done. We lose sight of the original goal. We lose sight of that which was aimed at when someone developed something new. And then we find ourselves subject to drift. Now, if we had the time, I might have Mel come up here or Earl and tell us what happens when you're in the deep sea and you don't pay attention to current drift. Both of them have sailed extensively, and my guess from the little bit I've read, I've never sailed in the deep sea, but if you don't pay attention to currents and utilize careful navigation, you will find yourself far from your intended destination. And so this is one of the problems that comes in with this whole package of our thinking and creating and choosing and developing things. We lose sight of where we were actually headed, and all kinds of factors come in that create drift. And it's easy for us, in the midst of our thinking and planning and creating and choosing and doing, to find ourselves we know not where. But then it's also very easy when we find ourselves we know not where to say, well, we're okay. This is the way we've always done things. And instead of stopping and recalibrating our course, so often we just keep doing what we've been doing. But now we don't know any longer why we are doing it. When we drift, we end up with what I will call hodgepodge. I like that word, hodgepodge. It means a confused mixture. Little bits from here and little bits from there, and we don't know the rhyme or reason anymore, but it's always how we've done things, so we put them all together. Or maybe instead of hodgepodge, we end up with, and maybe this is even worse, a stable, fixed formality. A stable, fixed formality. What do we mean by a formality? I better click my slides, see if... Nope, I'm not there yet. A stable, fixed formality. What do we mean by that? A formality is something, is an activity, a pattern, or a system that governs the way you do things for which you no longer know the reason. Same thing as losing sight of the goal. So we either end up with a hodgepodge, maybe we kind of know the reason for this and the reason for that, but that's one option, or we fall into a stable formality, and we go through the things we've always gone through because that's just the way you do things. But if someone asked you, what's your goal in doing that? You might have a hard time telling them what you're actually aiming at. Maybe at this point you're starting to understand why we have decided to sit down here in the 12th chapter of Romans for a while. As church, as Christian church, down through the ages, the church has thought and imagined and experimented and tried this and that and wrestled with problems and looked for solutions, all the while aiming at a particular goal. And sometimes God's church has done well at keeping the goal in sight and in mind. But in other times, we haven't done so well, and we've fallen into that formality I spoke of, ended up in a rut in which we continue because this is, of course, how you do things, but we no longer know why we're doing what we're doing. And we drift, and the church has gone down blind alleys. And the church has made mistakes, and sometimes once the mistake is made, it takes hundreds of years to get it out of the system again. Or again, ruts of formality where we go through motions but no longer understand what we are aiming at. I found the following quote quite interesting. Comes from an article by a business writer who is describing how this very thing can happen in a business setting. Listen to what he said. I've never taught corporate strategy. There's the goal in that word strategy. It's all about choosing goals and then figuring out how to pursue them. I've never taught corporate strategy to second graders, but I sometimes think about how to approach the challenge. I'd begin by representing a company as a hodgepodge of contraptions. Well, those are great words, hodgepodge, contractions, I like them. So here's what he pictures, his imaginary conversation with the second graders. Maybe a school bus with feathered wings on top, a boat anchor dragging behind, and wheels of various sizes and materials randomly positioned underneath. Pretend this is a company. How far do you think it would go? Would it sink or crash? Can it reach profit land before everyone jumps off? You see, if the church is not careful, we also can end up as a hodgepodge of contraptions. Engaged, listen carefully, engaged in much activity that no longer leads, perhaps at least not consciously, to the ends that should be aimed at. There is loss and grief to investors when this happens with a business, when a business becomes a hodgepodge. There's loss and grief to investors. But it is a horrible tragedy when it happens to the church. Because when it happens to the church, the vibrant and living witness, which is so important to the salvation of humankind, is muted and hidden and dies away. And so that is why we are here in this 12th chapter of Romans. We want to refocus ourselves upon the God-given pattern for the life of the church. We want to tune in to what God had in mind when He invented church. And we want to say, Lord, teach us, show us again the goals that we are to be aiming at, so that we can make sure that we are really aiming at those goals. Not just going through the ceremonies and going through the rounds and doing what we've always done and being busy. No, no. We want to catch again God's vision for what He wanted church to be, so that we can refocus and re-aim and engage with God in aiming for those very things. All this is exciting, because when we begin to aim at what God had in mind, life begins to be suffused. The divine life, the Holy Spirit life, there's power and change and growth. There's life when we line ourselves up with those goals. And we plan to do this by paying attention to one little phrase, actually just a word in the Greek, which is found woven throughout this particular portion of the book of Romans. And that's the little phrase, or the word, one another. One another. That's one really good way to think about church, to think about what it means to be individually members one of another. What does that mean? We're going to pay attention to this. We're going to dig into this. We are, the church are, is, excuse me, or at least should be, a one another kind of community. We want to find out just what that means, so that we can be certain of living out the reality to which this little phrase points. I look forward to this journey together with you, to dig into this, to refocus, to see again, what is it that we should be aiming at? We'll spend, I think, about 8 weeks, 8 sermon times of me up here in the pulpit. We've got some others who will be preaching along the way. But so for the next couple months, 2-3 months, we'll be focused here looking at what it means to be a one another kind of community. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, give us hunger, give us desire to see Your vision, to see where it is we can correct course, where it is we can find our way back to better paths. Lord, lead us in the life that is Yours. And grant us Your Holy Spirit as together as a family we engage in this process of exploration. In Your name we pray. Amen.